There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, so it is 2018, and that most beautiful time of the year when we're coming out of summer, and rolling into autumn. That wonderful time that we call All Hallows Eve. Pumpkins are sprouting, children are insufferable, and you know it's an all-round semi-nightmare because we don't know if we're coming or going. But the leaves are beautiful, but this is 2018, 2 years pre-pandemic. We didn't know what was going on. We had no idea it was about to hit, so life is kind of all right. But in this moment, we are in London. And, Vivi, why do you think you've got no friends?
I'm 20 years old. I'm working as an actress, but I feel very uncool, mm-hmm. and don't have like a lot of cool actory friends. I haven't gone to university or drama school. I'm still like living with my family and my sister's little baby and my mom, and we're all kind of, you know, weirdo freak losers. And I love a boy, and like he doesn't love me back.
It's like a little coven.
Yeah, no, it is a coven. Our family gives coven in a big way. Not in like a cool American horror story way, in like a weaving wicker baskets way.
like a bonnet way.
Yeah.
Great. That's the way you want to do it, though.
Exactly.
You love a boy and he doesn't love you back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, yeah, the title is quite apt for this. Why do you think you have no friends? Because I think I definitely didn't feel like I made my proper group of friends or my adult friends until I was sort of in my 20s, very much so. But when you asked me to think of a moment in my life where I felt strong emotion, which is every moment of my life, I just remembered this one, particularly because the best friends I really have in the world I met through this experience. And even though I humiliated myself, I ended up getting a really good friendship out of it.
And will you talk, you absolutely don't have to, but as we all know, people who listen to this podcast, I have talked in depth about like how awful, how much I have, like a lot of the time people are like, oh, I've had this really embarrassing breakup, and I'm like, oh man, you think that's bad? My God.
I know, but I think the only people that I really connect with in this life are people that have truly like experienced such abject humiliation.
Oh my God.
In the pursuit of love.
Exactly.
Those are the people that I really connect
with. They're also the funniest. Yeah. What I've come across. Yeah, the absolute funniest people are the ones who have gone, oh my God, it was so bad. Yeah. And now I have to look, I have to laugh about it, because if I didn't, I might spontaneously combust.
Okay, well, to explain, I met this boy when I was working on a show, and, you know, we only like crossed over for one day or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a very short shoot, something like a week or something like that. But he was so cool and tall and like actory, but in that deceptive way, because we were just talking about actors before this started, where it's like, you know, you should avoid like the plague, most of them, right? Because they're very showy, very flashy.
Yeah.
But then there are these sneaky ones. Mm-hmm. That come across as like very like sensitive and cool. I'm like, oh, I'm not into that. Oh, like the parties.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm not into that. Yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. Yeah, I'm about the.
What are you talking about? I don't have a membership to Soho House.
Yeah, exactly. What? Even though they always do.
No, they do fucking.
They secretly always do. Well, they're an ambassador for the new one. And then they send you a text 2 years later, being like, "I'll give you a discount," even though you know they got their membership for free.
Please come back.
You're asking me to pay £700. Thank you, so. Yeah. So yeah, I met this boy and he, you know, we were texting so much and it was that amazing like flurry of text messages where, you know, you're just finishing each other's sentences. And it was like, it was so constant for 2 weeks. It was incredible.
It's intoxicating. Yes. As well. And age 20, my God.
He was like a few years older than me. Yeah. I hadn't had a boyfriend or anything at that point. Like I was so innocent. You have to realize this.
Yeah.
And oh God, I'm so embarrassed even just like remembering this. But anyway, it was this intoxicating, like, oh my God, I think I'm in love.
Yeah.
I think I properly started like floating. I was flying around everywhere. Mm-hmm. I was like a cartoon with my legs floating in the air, yeah. Like smelling a pie.
Yeah.
And
every time you get a text, you're like, ah! And then you're walking.
I think, yeah, I would like literally like teleport across the room if I heard my phone. I think I actually set my text tone from him to be a different sound so that I wouldn't get crushed when I would go check my phone and it wasn't from him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like a text from Domino's. And
I just know this feeling so well.
Yeah. And so we met up and, you know, I put my loveliest little dress on. I think I was so nervous that I was so sweaty by the time I arrived. But I remember him saying, oh, you look lovely. That's a lovely dress.
Yeah.
We had a great time, chatted, and it was just instant connection. Mm. You know, we really bonded about like why we wanted to work in this industry and, you know, what we hated about it. We kind of connected over like bitching about the more superficial side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was so cool. And then he was like, oh, I'm actually taping for this really, like this really big project. And God, I can't, like, I have to do it at my agency and I can't find anyone to help me with it. And I was like, oh my God, I'll help.
Oh my God, crazy.
Like, and he was like, really, would you do that? He was so over, like, he was so overjoyed. He was like, you're so fucking cool for doing that. Oh my God. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm already helping. Let's move in. And I think I helped him with his tape. It was a romantic scene. I think it was actually for that film that's on Netflix. It's about like two people falling in love on a plane. I don't know. It came out like years later.
Why haven't I seen that? That sounds fucking fantastic.
And so I helped him with his tape. Uh-huh. And then we were texting. And he was like, let's hang out again. By the way, I actually have another tape to do. And like, you were so great at it before. Like, would you help me with that? And I'm like,
also
God.
Such, when they go, you really helped me. Thank you so much for doing that. That was brilliant. Well, you're like, oh my God.
Sometimes I think back and I'm like, why was I so eager to help? But then I remember reading this study. And by reading this study, I mean, I saw a TikTok about it. About the human brain and like the emotions that are produced or like the chemicals that are produced when somebody asks for help or like asks for a favor and receives a favor. You would think that in terms of two people, the person receiving the favor would feel like the most emotion towards the other person.
Yeah.
But apparently actually being asked to help, being asked for a favor, like produces a really strong reaction in people. Like it makes them feel needed and trustworthy. So I think that's what I was feeling. I was like, this is amazing. He respects my opinion.
Mm.
He knows that I've got good taste. Mm. He likes the sound of my voice. Mm. And I basically, this beautiful, like flirty textual exchange over like the course of a few months that had been started by a genuine thing, working together, really liking each other, suddenly turned into me helping with like maybe 7 or 8 self-tapes. Where I actually would just turn up. I turn up to his agency's office a few times. And I think by the last couple of times, his like his agent's assistant or something kind of gave me that look of like, oh, I kind of was like, am I an unpaid assistant at this point? I've helped him with so many tapes. But sometimes we would like get something to eat afterwards or sometimes we would get like a coffee. But it was suddenly became a bit more vague and I couldn't quite distinguish between, wait, has this devolved from us going out to like him just viewing me as a friend, if not assistant. And I was starting to get a little bit rattled with it. Maybe the texts were becoming a little bit less consistent. And rather than like responding in a normal way, which is, okay, I think it's clear that this person doesn't fancy me, maybe I should draw back.
No, double down.
No. We gotta get more into this.
Yep.
I think, yeah, so it must have been, so I've helped him with 7 or 8 tapes at this point.
Mm.
Very difficult to decipher how he feels. I think we had dinner one night and like he maybe vaguely touched my hand under the table, but there's a chance, he had very long legs, very long arms, could have just been an accident.
Right.
He also chose to eat at this Korean restaurant in, Covent Garden. And like I said, I'd never had a boyfriend at this point, had been on very few dates, really hadn't had a lot of experience of eating around men and having to eat the stickiest hot wings that you've ever eaten in your life and still look sexy around a guy that you're not even sure fancies you yet. That's a challenge. That's mental gymnastics if I've ever fucking done it in my life.
Turn on the date and be like, I'll have the bolognese.
No, but like, I remember, and also at this time I was still a relatively fussy eater, just like with specific things, like, but I really wanted to seem cool. So I think I ordered the same thing as him. He went to town. He was eating a big meal.
Yeah.
And these sticky rings arrived. And I, like, the second I even touched a little bit, my whole body was covered in orange sauce. I remember I was like sweating, trying to hold back tears, trying to look sexy, trying to push my boobs out, trying to eat tiny little bites. Do I use the chopsticks? Do I use a fork? What's going to look cool? Nightmare. So maybe when he brushed my leg under the table, he was just looking for a napkin. I don't know. And then I remember we went out for some drinks at the South Bank, you know, that really cool National Theatre bar, like The Outsider.
Oh, well, The Understudy.
The Understudy.
Where I've been
on many a bad date. Yeah. Many a bad date.
Many a bad date.
Next to those fake industrial, big coppery, like wine barrels.
Yeah. Sick.
And I think that we were drinking outside and I was like, wow, okay, cool. I think this is it. This is the day. We're finally here, boys. Mm-hmm. And then actual boys turned up, about 5 of his friends turned up. And I was like, oh, well, this can't be a date then. If a bunch of his friends have turned up, I drank way too much. I was 20, drank the same amount as him, even though he was a big boy.
Yeah.
Super loosey-goosey. And I remember him actually holding my hand under the table. But again, it's difficult to judge now if that was more like a flirty thing.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, you're meeting my friends. Or if that was like, you need to slow down. You're really, really fucking drunk.
Yeah.
Anyway, his affection is definitely starting to wane, or I'm finding it a bit more difficult to judge what's going on. And he hasn't responded to some texts or something like that. So I'm doom scrolling, obviously, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know any of his friends, or apart from these boys that turned up, but I knew that he was like vaguely actory, certainly more actory than me, especially at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at his Instagram, like, looking at the places that he hangs out, saw some posts that he had done with like some cool looking girls. And I was like, I'm just going to take a look. I'm just going to check out the kind of women that he's hanging around with so that I can get a gauge of what he thinks is a cool woman.
Yeah, yeah. Because then I can buy those clothes and also like do my hair like that.
It's important to know.
Yeah.
You need to check out the landscape.
Yeah.
I genuinely, it's so embarrassing even thinking about to this
now. No, it's not when you have the flimsiest sense of health and you're like, who do I need to be?
Yeah. Or at least just like, let me get a gauge on this.
Then
I see this really cool girl that he's hanging around with and she had like bright orange hair and she like was wearing a really cool sort of vintagey outfit.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, this seems like one of his best friends. Start, you know, perusing her profile for a while. Go back. Because you need to go back. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I've got to see the various stages of how this person became her. Maybe 2 years deep, accidentally like a photo.
No, that's the one. I knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. And accidentally like a photo, like a really intimate, like not like a post that you could have casually come across.
Yeah.
Definitely like this is something that you found deep in the trenches. And I was lying in bed, like tucked up to, and it was like only like 10 p.m. on like a Saturday or something really embarrassing. And I'm like tucked up in my bed and I realized what I've done. I do think that my soul fell through my brain into my ankles. What I did is I did unlike that photo because it was embarrassingly old. Oh, and I God, thought if I just really, so really, really funny. Quickly like a newest one, then it will be fine.
Yeah.
And then it would just look like the follow. So that's what I did. Unliked it, re-liked the most recent post or something like that, and then sent a follow.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, fine, I can breathe. Then the messages from this guy definitely started to wane after that point. I didn't make the connection though. I really didn't make the connection.
Mm.
But I'm now following this girl. And she's called Honey and she's really cool and she's funny and she's a writer and she's does these really cool Instagram stories. And after about a week or two, partly fueled by delusion, but also partly like there was a sort of connection there. I felt, oh, wow. Like if there was anybody that I could have accidentally liked the photo, I'm glad it was this person.
Mm.
And so I messaged her and I was like, hey, like I've never done this before or since, but I was like, hey, hey, you seem really cool. Hey. Like, that's a normal thing to fucking send. Hey, you seem like a cool gal.
Obsessed.
Wanna go for a coffee? And she responded and she was like, yeah, that would be nice.
Oh, that's nice of her.
Very cool of her.
Yeah.
And so we met up and, you know, she looked great and she was lovely and we sat down and we had coffee. And then I think within the first 5 minutes, because she just seemed so immediately open and nice and friendly, I said, okay, look, I have to confess something to you. I accidentally liked your photo and then I followed you because I'm in love with one of your friends and I just need you to forgive me and I'm really, really sorry about this. But this is what I wanted you to know. And she was like, that sounds exactly like something that I would
do. That is the most relatable fucking thing in the world, and actually be that open
and
about it.
And we've been
amazing.
Best friends for 6 years.
That's what a beautiful story.
I know. And she did reveal to me a lot of interesting stuff about this guy, you know, that he wasn't really, I think, into dating people long term. I think that a lot of people in their friendship group had sort of had crushes on him vaguely and, you know, whatever. But also, heartbreakingly, she did tell me this after we'd hung out a few times, which I appreciate her for. Thank God she didn't do this to me the first time that we hung out. But that day, that night where I liked the photo, they had been hanging out. Oh. And he had apparently mentioned, like, hey, well, I've been sort of vaguely hanging out with this girl, BB. Like, I'm not sure if it's a vibe, but it kind of feels like maybe it's a vibe potentially.
Yeah.
And literally that moment on her phone, BB cave.
Oh, fuck.
I think she just liked two of my photos and followed me. And I'm not surprised that he stopped fucking messaging me after that. And yes, I think that he probably got the vibe that I was like a real weirdo. And thank God, in the heartbreak of like, I couldn't quite admit to myself that I must have been very off-putting and like intense at that time. But I was 20 and, you know, whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But thank God I suddenly found this new friend, and I didn't really have a lot of friends. I certainly didn't have a lot of like creative artsy friends at this point. I was mostly just like best friends with my sister and my brothers and like kept to myself. And, you know, meeting this girl was just so thrilling, especially because I got to be like radically honest from the very beginning of the relationship and realized like I made what felt like a huge mistake.
Yeah.
But it was also very human.
Yeah.
And she was just so wonderful and exciting and like, thought the whole thing was fucking hilarious. And then she decided to invite me to this Halloween party that she was hosting that this guy was going to be at. And I was like, I gotta be there. And I'm thinking, well, he's going to be at the Halloween party. So that means I've got a few weeks. This was like beginning of October. I've got a few weeks to really like lock this down. Yeah. Like maybe his affections have waned. I don't realize how much at this point, but like maybe it's going to be fine. We're still vaguely texting a bit. And I decide boldness is what you got to do. I was bold enough to message this girl. I can be bold enough to lay my cards down on the table. So I organize a date for us, a proper date. Okay, no helping anybody with auditions here.
Yeah.
And I was he agrees to.
Okay.
And so I book a special screening of the 1922 classic Nosferatu, early German art house horror expressionism. Fantastic. You could argue the first horror film. And it was being played at this beautiful old dilapidated church in East London. And the London Symphony Orchestra were actually going to accompany the movie because it's a silent film.
Shut up. What a fucking night.
Well, we were both kind of film nerdy, you know? And so like, I just thought that this would be a cool thing to do. And it was like spooky season, you know, Halloween's coming up.
Yeah.
And he was down for it. And then on the day, he messaged me saying that he couldn't come. And so I went to go see it with my mum and she fell asleep within like the first 2 minutes. And like, it's like the fucking huge Nosferatu's on the screen. And his hands are like, you know, about to kill everyone. I was just sort of sitting there crying. But anyway, he turned up to this Halloween party. I decided to rent. It was like a very fat, like it was very dress up. Like it was important for this Halloween party that everyone was like very on theme and dressed up and things like that.
Yeah.
So again, in my madness, like saying to my mum in the backseat of the car, I'm going to get married. I'm getting married soon.
I'm pretty sure.
I went to this dressing up store that's not, I don't think it exists anymore, Angels in Chaffrey Avenue. You know where you can rent amazing.
Because there's the big Angels in Hendon.
Yes, which is the they had one that was in Central.
I remember, yes. Oh no, a friend of mine used to work there.
Oh, so cool. Beautiful. Somebody, I remember when I was a teenager, somebody hosted a birthday party and we rented some costumes from there. And so I thought, oh my God, perfect opportunity. And I wanted to go as Marie Antoinette. And so I rented this beautiful dress and like floor length and like, you know, arm sleeves and like fucking everything. And I was going to do a big beheaded thing and all that kind of stuff. And I think it cost me something like £150 or £200 to rent this outfit, like extortionate for like a Halloween party.
But
I was like, this is worth it. This is worth it. And then on the day I chickened out, I couldn't wear it. I was too embarrassed. I was like, I'm going to turn up. I'm going to be the most dressed up person in the world. And it's going to be tragic.
Yeah.
And so I just wore some old flimsy little white dress that I had. And of course I got to the Halloween party and everyone looked amazing and I could have worn the dress.
Oh my gosh. I know exactly that. But I do the same thing.
And he ghosted me, obviously. Or like he, you know, sort of said hi or whatever vaguely at the party, but I think was also looking at me like, why the fuck is this bitch here? and then I think like months later, you know, we kind of, it all fizzled out. And like, I think I said like, oh, I just had such a big crush on you. And he was like, oh, I don't think I ever really saw you that way. We did eventually kiss actually once at my 21st birthday party.
Fantastic.
But it was worth it. It was worth the trials and the tribulations and the ups and the downs and the humiliation and seeming like a stalker, suddenly becoming friends with one of his friends, which must have been so fucking weird for him.
Yeah.
Because actually I have a best friend now who's been such a huge part of my life and who has like, you know, been the start of so many different other friendships that I've had, friendship groups that I've made, like. And so, yeah, I just thought that maybe it was relatively on theme for what you talk about here because, you know, I learned a lot from that embarrassing experience.
I think it's so great to talk about humiliation, talking about embarrassment, because it is something that all of us, it's like when you're lying awake at night and you feel it and then you go, no, you don't want to think about it.
You know, you have to like scream or like scrunch up your face so hard to like, to counteract how embarrassing something you actually did is. I'm sure there are so many other facets to that story that are so embarrassing that I've actually had to like block them out.
Mm.
But at least I can look back now and have a great deal of sympathy for myself.
100%. Oh my gosh, especially being that age. And because I think there's a thing that you didn't go to university, you didn't go to drama school. Mm. And age 20, when you've been at school, and I don't know what your experience with school, but my fucking experience with school, I was at, I was at an all-girls boarding school.
Wow.
And it was the Hunger Games. and was like, oh, these are the people who have to be my, because there's no one else. It was only when I got to drama school where I was like, oh shit, there are other people who are really great and really interesting and actually way more nourishing and brilliant.
Mm.
But only did that because I had that experience. Otherwise, I would have been in the same position 100%.
Mm.
But this feeling of humiliation is, oh my fucking God.
I know. And like, I truly feel, especially now that like I've been with my boyfriend Horatio now for 5 years almost. And I just think it's so obvious when a guy likes you, like, because they actually show you, and they've like, men are really quite simple. I mean, not to be like boring and like create like some sort of binary conclusions between men and women or whatever. But like, I can so clearly see now that this guy just didn't give that much of a shit. And also, you know, if somebody's just asking you to help them with favors, I don't think that they probably want to kiss you.
But it's
they probably just know, oh, she seems like reliable. She seems like she could put up a shelf.
Yeah, she's got some curtains. I've got some wallpaper that needs hanging around here. But when you're that age, you're just really, really hopeful. And also, I think there's a thing about being that young when you've got everything going on ahead of you and you imagine this future and then you stick to it.
Mm.
And if it doesn't come to fruition, you're like, I don't know who I am and I don't know what the fuck to do. And so I have to make this work. I had a very, very similar experience, weirdly, actually, when I was 21, where I met a boy who was in a movie. He was in a fucking movie.
Wow.
Which at the time, I was like...
Doesn't get better than that.
And just decide, I didn't know him, but at all. But decided within the first like night that we were obviously going to be together and that was going to be it. I actually saw him about 6 months ago at a workshop and I was like, you were very sweet to a very young girl who was very, like, very unwell. Because I was like super unwell at the time, I had no idea. And you were like really kind when a lot of people wouldn't have been really kind.
Mm.
But I remember saying to so many friends, I was like, I have to laugh about that experience because it was so embarrassing, the shit that I did, like the texts and the going. He
called it. God. And we think sending six texts in a row for clarification, yeah. You really think that that's going to solve the issue?
Also, just wanted to check another thing. It's going, just shut up.
Yeah, shut up. Just don't send any texts.
Stop.
God, if I could give some advice to like girls in that like that heartache position, it's less is more.
Yeah.
Send nothing. Show nothing. Show no emotion.
Yeah.
They truly cower away from like these shows of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Which I think surely should also be a sign that it's not going to work out, because vulnerability is like the best part of relationships, really. It's like being able to fully be yourself. So if it's only going to, if you can only appeal to someone by being not very vulnerable, then it's probably not going to work out for
the best. It's not going to work out.
Wow. Yeah,
it's
Kat's showing me there. Oh, quite a lot.
Mickey's flouncing around with a bare bum right now. But yeah, like so embarrassing. He called it off after we went on two dates. I decided we were going to be together forever.
Of course
we weren't. He again was a bit older and he was in a movie. Mm. And so I was like, well, you know, this is obviously the most incredible thing that's happened. After two dates, I was devastated to the, I like could barely fucking breathe. I was so upset. And I was like, do you know the way I'm going to get him back? And I thank fuck I didn't. Thank dear whatever divine intervention came in that meant that I didn't do this. But I knew that he was going away filming in like Ireland.
Oh my God, we're going to go on a holiday. Yes.
Like, and also I was like, I'm going to knit him a scarf and send it to him on his birthday at the film set in Ireland.
Oh my God, send him a knitted scarf on his birthday.
On his birthday.
At the film set.
At the film set in Ireland. Thank God. I don't know what happened that distracted me from that plan, but I just to this day, I'm like, thank God.
What is it about young women in these romantic gestures? Like surely 100 years ago, we were the ones that were being performed romantic gestures too. And suddenly we're the ones knitting and sending things.
Where the fuck is my scarf that's never arrived?
Truly.
But like, it's that feeling of being very young and going, oh, I think I found it, because you've, and also it's that thing of going, if you haven't been surrounded by the people who are really exciting and or be, in your way, in your own particular way, nourish you and get you interested about stuff. If you haven't been around that and someone appears, you're like, well, this has got to be it.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly how I felt. It was like, I had never really had any connections with anybody romantically, especially somebody that got like my taste in things and wanted a sort of similar career path to mine. And
yeah.
I think ambition and like being excited about, you know, the industry that we were both in was such a huge part of it.
Yeah.
God, I just wish I could give some advice to my former self. But then again, I do think that The people I really connect with in this life tend to be people that had like some tragic, you know, love life, at least for a small period of time.
100%.
People that like just had an easy time at school, got in like a lovely steady relationship when they were 14, 15, 16, and then go from relationship to relationship to relationship. Not saying at all that those people are boring,
no.
But I just, my best friends don't tend to be those people, like the serial relationship.
Yeah.
I think that it's also good to kind of explore who you are when you're young and kind of alone. I think you do learn a lot about yourself.
Oh, definitely. And I do say this a lot, that the time that I learned most about myself was when I was actively single, after recovery for a good 18 months. It was only after 18 months that I was like, maybe I can try this again. But
are you not allowed to date anyone for the first year after?
It's meant to be that you, for the first year of recovery, you don't date anyone. It's supposed to be. I don't know how many people really adhere to that, but and at the time when I was in recovery and they told me that, I was like, are you fucking kidding? Are you kidding me? There's absolutely, and I was going no crushes for 12 months. And then I was like coming out, because you, I think there's a lot to, when you were in early recovery, you make a lot of excuses for stuff, and I was going like, I have endometriosis. I have endometriosis. What do you think I'm gonna do, not have a baby? And they were like, what? Like, why are you coming out with that? Also, you're not going to have a baby with someone in a year. What are you talking about? But I do think, I mean, just for me, like you said, there are other people who exist in a very different way and exist very happily. But definitely, I do think having a period of being very, truly, truly single is a very wonderful thing to do. And like Helen, was it Helen Bauer who went, all her favourite people are the traumatised ones? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Always the funniest.
Well, also, you just... you gravitate towards people that have experienced similar things to you and have similar voids maybe. Yeah. But also in terms of like boys and being single, I always had such difficulty with like meeting anyone or seeming cool or like even just going out with the right type of people for me. But then when I actively wasn't looking for it for the first time in my life, suddenly it was like buses, you know, four at once or something like that. And, and that's when I ended up meeting my boyfriend now. When I was grieving, my brother had passed away 6 months beforehand. And I went to the Edinburgh Fringe with my sister and we were doing this random show that we decided to do and the sort of madness of it all, just like let's distract ourselves or something. And, you know, right at that moment when it's literally the last thing on your mind and you're grieving and you're like just out of it, you're also like insanely sexy. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody
wants to.
Yeah, I think I'm sure that you must have experienced that when you were going through a really difficult period of time where suddenly everyone's interested in you and you're
suddenly
like, what the
so
fuck?
Interesting. I genuinely, I've said this to my boyfriend who is currently upstairs, that he knows this. I think one of the reasons why actually we hit it off as really well is because I didn't give a shit at the time. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And was just like, do you want to go out? And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing cooler.
Nothing cooler.
Yeah. I remember texting my boyfriend before we'd started going out and being like, you're flirting with me a lot. Like, I'm not interested. You should stop. Bye. I didn't even know who this person was that had taken over, like truly. And it's so funny to think back because I knew I loved him probably from the first moment I saw him.
Yeah.
But I didn't identify that feeling as love because there was so much stuff in my head that it meant that this feeling and this person that in any other circumstance and at any other point in my life, I would have prioritized. He would have become the obsession. But because he literally couldn't be, I had too much to deal with. And I had a sort of a relationship that was, you know, not working that I sort of needed to end. And then this other boy that had sort of followed me up to Edinburgh, that was like a whole nother story. And like this boy from my school that like had been this weird little nerd that was now like 7 foot tall and gorgeous, that was like messaging me. I was like, what, I've got a lot on the cards. This boy that would have otherwise been something that I had probably done what I'd done before with this other guy, embarrassed myself or double texted.
Yeah.
I was insanely cool. Yeah. I was like, I don't need this. And I'm sure it like sent him crazy.
Yeah.
And now we've been together for a long time. And I just think, God, I could have been a weirdo loser and put you off.
Yeah.
And I didn't. How amazing is that?
Amazing.
So I can't recommend grief enough for anybody looking for love.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So that is the thing with relationships. It took me so long to realize it because I think I existed, I definitely was dabbling in like what is love addiction and the rest of it, and I definitely had huge symptoms of that. But when you are in a relationship, that they cannot be your sole purpose and sole, you know, the reason for existing. And so often beforehand is getting into stuff and being like, this is it, and I shall shove all of myself into this and lose myself in you. Therefore, when you step away, I have nothing because every part of my soul was drained into you. So I've got nothing left in the tank. Mm-hmm. And then when someone kind of comes in and it's a little bit like background noise because you've got other shit to do, that's when and like we said, it's not the same for everybody, but definitely that worked for me about going, oh, when you can retain all of yourself, or, you know, a huge part of yourself and the parts of you that are really, really great, and not just shove them into this other person and completely lose all sense of self. That's when it really seems to work, which is great.
Absolutely.
It was really, really great. I love this story, though, that, like, the chances, the, like, weird combination of events, the series of events that led up to you then getting a best friend.
I know.
Is wonderful.
We talk about it all the time.
It's really great.
But also, I think that it's so lucky that it happened to be her. Mm. And it's so lucky that it happened to be at that time, because clearly part of the reason why I was throwing myself so much into this, like, this connection, was because actually, even though I thought that what I was seeking was, you know, male attention, it was actually a more profound loneliness, which is like having not found your real soulmates, which are your friendships. And because of meeting her, I ended up like becoming really close with a lovely group of girls, and being able to like go out and feel young for the first time. I think because I started working as an actor when I was like a child, which is famously a very healthy thing to do.
Which famously, if you look at all the people who did that.
I loved being a teenager and being chased up the stairs by random middle-aged men and them trying to tickle my bottom. I loved it. I loved all of my best friends being middle-aged 40-year-old guys. I loved that.
Why do I know them?
Yeah.
Why?
I was so annoying and weird at school, I fucking bet, because I at once felt simultaneously like above people, but also so inferior.
Yeah.
Because I was so geeky for acting and stuff like that. And I loved working and like being around adults and being like the precocious youngest person in the room syndrome, which all child actors have.
Yeah.
Not that I was like an insanely successful one as well, which is why it's so funny, like doing like some random like ITV drama. And I'm like, it's like I'm the head of a franchise. Yeah. It's not. My life was not transformed by how successful a child actor I was. I just happened to do a lot of acting. And
people are very nice to kids. I love the old, like, people.
Especially mature kids.
Mature, yeah. They get very, they're, like, very nice. And then you become sort of the most important person in the room. And you get very excited and sort of like.
But also, I think because I was the youngest of five siblings. And I was just used to sort of speaking to people older than me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved being around adults and being able to shine, being able to impress people with seeming more mature and not needing to, like, you know, seem like a kid. But then around people my age, I just was so embarrassed and like cringeworthy and didn't quite know how to relate to things. You know, everyone would be doing like the peace sign in pictures and I would like throw up a jazz hand,
I love it.
Because you always got to be on. You don't know. You got to be on.
Because you don't know what's an opportunity.
Life is a show and we're performers. Life is a stage.
Every photo is a
headshot. And I'm the starring lead. And it's so embarrassing to look at photos now between the ages of me from like 11 to 15. Jazz hands, jazz hands, jazz hands, jazz hands.
Obsessed.
Not a single peace sign. Come on, babe. Be cool. Be normal. Yeah. But I think, just because of working from a young age and then not having like the university experience and stuff like that, I just never really threw myself into like just socializing, just trying to make friends. And so it all kind of collided in all at once when I was like 20 and I was working a bit, but obviously becoming an adult actor is very different to like being a child actor, teenage actor.
Yeah.
You know, there are suddenly so many more people in the mix for everything. And I was like working as a waitress and I was fucking terrible at that because, you know, obviously I practice like being a waitress from the waitresses that you see in TVs and movie shows where you're just like, oh, hi, sir. What do you want to drink today?
Oh, hey, honey.
Not getting blasted in the face with like hot air from a washing machine and stuff like that. Not like the less glamorous side. All of that sort of aching and longing and desire and loneliness kind of just all collided at once until. So then from the ages of 18 to 20, I was so profoundly like lonely and so maybe I just thought, the solution for that is a wonderful actor boyfriend who's going to complete my soul. And then it turned out not to be him. It turned out to be a wonderful friend instead.
A wonderful friend. Yeah, it's that thing. And I think it is so interesting, this thing, and actually the thing that is more profound in this sense that it wasn't the man, it wasn't the male attention. It was just the, like, want to be seen.
Noticed and
going, I exist. I exist for who I am. I don't exist for anybody else. And actually a much more genuinely authentic a lot of women. In fact, I barely know a single woman who hasn't at some point accidentally liked a photo.
Oh my God,
at 2 a.m.
It's like a rite of passage.
It really is. And it's great.
I feel like they should make some kind of a feature though that prevents you from being able to do that.
Really should.
Like you should have to tap it and then spin your phone around or something to like like the photos.
Spin your phone around. When you're not following them and you've scrolled far
enough. Yes, I just feel like it's so dangerous otherwise.
I remember my mum doing that. I was showing her, there was a girl who I think was seeing a guy that I had really liked. And I was like, oh my God, is she prettier than me? And like was scrolling, my mum was scrolling back. And then she tried to zoom in on a photo.
Oh my God, my heart would have dropped out of my chest.
In the days when you don't think you could zoom in on Instagram. So she was doing this and then obviously went.
Yeah, this is why you can't let mum touch your phone.
I was livid. Livid. When you did kiss him at your 21st, yeah. How did it
still
feel?
I still get a high. Yeah. Like, yes! You did it, bitch. You did it for the 20-year-old version of you. I think he literally told me 5 minutes after we kissed as well that he was like going away on like some long job to film something. So it was like, don't get too attached to me. Don't get too attached.
I mean, yeah, did you feel what you thought you'd feel? Were you just kind of like,
Yeah, I mean, I think I was really happy and like, I felt very validated.
Yeah.
But also, by that point, it had kind of run its course. Yeah. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, my birthday's in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd met him in the summer previous, made friends with my new best friend in like the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to January. And I think I was still pretty in love maybe. And so I was putting together, okay, so I need to have a very cool 21st birthday party.
Yeah, the coolest.
So, and obviously Facebook events was still very much a big thing. And to me still is. Like, I think Facebook is a great place to plan events. I know that it's not very cool, but it's logical. And you get, you know, you can see all of your friends and whatever.
Yeah, it's how we remembered birthdays back in the day.
Exactly. I mean, now what I do is I use my Instagram close friends.
That's nice.
And I use that as a sort of Facebook events page. I will like do a close friend story. But then obviously then you kind of have to screenshot it and then you have to remind people. So yeah. Facebook events is great.
Yeah.
So I wanted to plan very carefully who was going to be at this party. I wanted it to be the right number of people, and I wanted it to you know, just be like a lovely mix of sort of, you know, like I'm a sommelier for people, like this is gonna reflect very well on me. And so I thought a good way to assess numbers is by adding everyone to just a quick fake little group that I'm gonna set, whatever, just so I can see how many people. And so then I added all of these people, you know, to this event that I hadn't made yet, in January, and just to see, and you know, I can't remember, 35 or 27 or 50 or something like that. And I was like, oh great, and then clicked it, and then it showed me that I had actually made the event, and I think I'd set the photo as like a random selfie of me like Phoebe's birthday. And I was like, oh fuck, because it's not for 6 months. That's incredibly embarrassing to plan a party 6 months in advance. So then I deleted it. And then 2 minutes later, I got a message from a friend being like, babe, what's going on? And she screenshotted that it said everyone that was in that group had got a message saying, Phoebe has invited you to this event.
Yeah.
Phoebe has cancelled this event. So it just looked like I was having a proper mental breakdown.
Meltdown.
Horrendous. Now I would never be so uncouth as to add people to a group just so I can know the numbers. I can't do that anymore. The shame it brings me.
But I've just remembered what a dopamine hit that was, being a teenager and seeing that you've been invited to, oh my God.
Nothing better.
Ed, no last name, has invited you to his 18th.
I know.
Also, someone's saying, yes, missing. I'm attending.
That is actually what we're missing in... Don't you think that they should make an app just for events?
Yes. I mean, if I'm in another fucking WhatsApp group, I tell you.
Yeah, WhatsApp groups is not quite the same thing because I don't actually want people to be able to contact me.
No, I'd rather not.
But the yes, you're right, the dopamine hit.
The dopamine hit, that or someone going...
House yes, party. I love that. It so implies that I was invited to loads of house parties as a teenager. Which
but that's why
I
it was such
absolutely wasn't.
Such a dopamine hit when it happened.
Oh my God. That's why it was a thrill. I think that's why my boyfriend finds it really funny that I love planning parties, even though I get so insanely stressed and never enjoy myself because I get too in hostess mode.
Yeah.
And it's not like I even have a flat that I live in at the moment. So it's not like I can fucking host anything. But like sometimes for my birthdays and stuff, I just... I think it's a wonderful chance to bring people together, and I relish that feeling of being invited to something. What a joy, yeah. What a privilege, what a pleasure of yeah. this life. And if only I can do that for other people. So I'm a big believer in yeah. hosting things.
Yes.
And yeah. themes and dressing up.
Love
again,
it.
Trying to get, you know, claim some power back from having never been invited to any cool parties when I was a teenager. So
I can't remember the last time I had to like dress. I think that
it's important that, you know,
we do that.
I think that it is important that people get the chance to dress up.
It is really fun.
I think that you should be able to dress up in a costume at least 3 to 4 times a year. I think that's like it's important for the brain. Like,
yeah.
you know, sort of get some nerve endings working, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah.
When was the last time that you and your friends like hosted a party together, or when was the last time that you hosted something really fun?
Fuck. I don't, probably my 1 year sobriety party.
Sounds like a hoot.
Genuinely, when it was like, there's a jug of mocktails and some nuts. And loads of people couldn't come at the last minute. So then I was like...
That's always the issue.
Yeah.
This is really why bad. It's important to clarify themes yeah. / dressing up / you know, vibes. Mm. Because if you give people something to anticipate that this is a themed party, or this is a party where we're all going to watch this thing, mm. or this is a party, we're going to do this afterwards, it does make people feel more pressurized to not cancel mm. last minute.
But I think
if you're too casual, it almost gives people the excuse to cancel last
yeah.
minute.
Yeah. I think the last time I like hosted something really, really... like wasn't even raucous, but something like proper was my 30th mm. when that was great.
Wow, I thought you were in your mid-20s.
Thank
you. You look so young.
Thank you so much.
Good for you. Although not that should matter.
Never.
I mean, also. I feel like that's, have you seen this horrendous trend on TikTok about
no.
people trying to, well, it's just, it's quite funny. I think it started because people can be very savage with like millennials and things like that online, be mm. like, oh my God, you stop wearing a side part. You should be wearing a middle part. You would look so much better. You know, if you cater to these like insane, ridiculous, like temporary standards we have, what young people should look like now.
What?
And because like apparently if you wear your hair in a side parting, that's really cringe, a millennial. You have to wear a middle parting if you're like cool and on trend. Did you not know that?
No, that's madness. And also I went to the hairdresser the other day and I said, where should I put my part? And he said, always on the side. So
absolutely. I think side part looks fantastic on yeah. some people. Middle part looks great on some
so
people.
So millennial.
No, truly. As a zillennial myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm sort of, I border both generations.
Nice.
So we're the same age basically, right? Mm. We both grew up in Ealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Fine.
Basically some people go on TikTok and they say, okay, TikTok, be honest with me. How old do you think that I look? And it just is like become this like vanity contest where people obviously, they obviously want people to comment and say, oh my God, you look 21 or 22 yeah. or 23. But most of the time, these people are absolutely roasted and annihilated
yeah.
and told that they look so much older because, well, you shouldn't wear your hair in this way and your foundation's too orange and like your earrings are cringy or something like that. But I just also find it, every other thing that I see advertised to me is some kind of way to stay looking young.
Yeah.
To not get wrinkles.
Oh my
to
gosh, everything
pump up your
comes
skin.
Up.
And I do think that it is definitely the equivalent to the 2000s sort of staying thin. It's, you know, at least we're not, well, it's almost just as dangerous. Like, either make yourself small or make yourself look as young as possible. I think they're
yeah.
both kind of equally slightly toxic 100%. Ideas, aren't they?
But I think it's weird because the keeping yourself young one is almost presented as a health thing.
Mm.
Of like, whereas in the noughties when we had like Heat magazine,
mm. many oh, I of loved you, Heat magazine.
Fuck me, I devoured that shit. But mm. like, many people will not know how bad. Like, they would literally have like photos. People who don't know what he is, they'll have photos of women like on the beach and then they would like do a circle and zoom in yeah. on it and be like,
flabby Tom,
look at her cellulite.
Where's she flying off to with those finger wings?
Were you writing?
I was.
Were you writing in the celebrity spotted section?
I really was. My favourite was the celebrity spotted section.
Yeah.
I loved finding out where people were going to buy their groceries.
Yeah.
I loved like the hearing about like the random clubs in like Knightsbridge yeah. or wherever the fuck.
Yeah.
But also like the more embarrassing ones, like, oh, this person was seen standing by a traffic cone at yeah. 3 a.m. in the morning, whatever.
Oh, saw Peter Andre by the like Sainsbury's and...
They were always too mean to Peter Andre. Why would we always shit on Peter Andre when he was just trying to live an honest life? I can't imagine how stressful his life was.
He was just trying to do the damn thing.
I would be 14 and these girls that I met at this drama class, we would go to the Starbucks after the drama class, go to Sainsbury's, pick up those, you know, those amazing soft cookies that they do, the soft like chocolate chip,
yeah.
the big ones.
Banging.
They would do like 2 packs for £1. Buy some Cadbury milk as well, my Heat magazine, and then sit in the Sainsbury's and all read like the different magazines. I think it was like Closer, Heat magazine, and then like Grazia. Like we get like a fancy highbrow one, and then we would swap around, and we would sit just there for 4 or 5 hours, just like indulging in how much we hated women,
amazing,
and ourselves.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
But is every single thing on Instagram I have is scrolling past? It's like, here's an LED light. You got a spare grand?
Just those scary masks.
Yeah, and I'd be like, okay, or you know, do this, or here's face yoga, or here's a you know a jade roller, which is meant to like, well, I don't know. Plump your eyebrows up or something, and I'm like, I've got so much to worry about.
Yeah,
so much to worry about. I'm trying to remember when I changed Mickey's litter last. Like, I just can't.
But also, it's
just
interesting as well that it's this pressure to kind of erase any proof of life and experience.
Yeah,
and I know that I look older than I did 5 years ago, before difficult things happen.
Yeah,
in a way, like the lines in your face are existence that you went through something difficult and you survived it. And
yeah,
that should be okay. But I have to admit, it still stresses me out every time that I see visible signs of aging.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm 26, turning 27 this year. Mm. I think I very recently felt my frontal lobe fully develop. Is that what it's called? The frontal cortex, the frontal lobe, or something like that. They say it properly stops growing or developing around your mid-20s. And I do feel like there was a sudden switch where I stopped feeling anxious about certain things. And that should be a good thing, but it is also, it does make you sad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the fear of mortality, I don't know. But why is it that we're so afraid of seeming older?
Yeah.
When that's such a privilege to do. It's such a privilege to age.
It's such a privilege to age. And like, I think we forget this. And I lie in bed at night sometimes and just like feel so panicked and so like in mourning.
Mm.
If I can check off, like going, I'm in mourning for my youth. And it's like, oh, you know, come on.
But maybe it's because you mourn for your youth because you feel like you haven't achieved all the things that you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Or like that, in order to complete being a young person or the young person version of my life, I need to have done this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
Which is that's a list that's never going to be satisfied, really. Yeah. I think especially as an actress as well.
Yeah.
Like, just you're made to feel like it's just this ticking time bomb from the second that you
sort of grow boobs
or something like that. When are you going to go from being sort of sexy young thing to frumpy mum?
Like tired mum of seven.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when is that going to happen and when does that switch come? But actually, as I was saying to my friend the other day, when I was like, we're going in for different roles now. And I was like, they're actually much more interesting and far better and far more fun.
Mm.
And that's a really exciting thing to do. So we have discussed many things. Mickey's got catnip on his head.
Catnip?
You've got catnip on your head, babe. Yeah, get some.
Is that like drugs for cats?
It's like drugs for cats.
Oh, Mickey. Good for you, Mickey. Getting blazed in the middle of the day. Love it.
I asked this question to everybody. What are the things about you that you genuinely love and cherish and are really proud of?
Oh my God.
That's such a horrible question.
The things about myself that I love and cherish. Mm. I think I laugh quite easily. I think that as I get older, I certainly see the funny and the comedy and the joy and the light and things.
Mm-hmm.
I think a huge part of that is due to my boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
who, like I said before, I met at this very strange period in my life where I was 21 and my brother had just died in this horrible accident, mm-hmm. and everything seemed like the least funny thing ever in the world.
Yeah.
But in the midst and the craziness of all of that, I met this person who was so light and so joyful and saw the funniness even in my situation.
Yeah.
Which
is a brave thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He nailed it. He was very cool. I was doing this bizarre comedy show with my sister and I was sort of dating somebody that wasn't quite right for me. There was also... this is so specific. Okay. So my sister and I wrote this show and it was about like various chapters in our lives or something like that. And something that I decided to write about was this boy who worked in a bookshop that I thought was really handsome. But because I had a boyfriend at the time, not a very serious boyfriend, we'd only dated for a couple of months, but I was still relatively new to the dating game. I really fancied this boy in a bookshop and I felt really guilty about it. Mm. And so I wrote this imaginary conversation that I had with this boy that worked in the bookshop or something like that. And then whilst I was in Edinburgh doing the show, one of the sections being about this guy, he messaged me.
Oh, fuck.
He found me. We'd only met twice. And he was like, I happen to be in Edinburgh at the same time as well. And like, my friends are here doing something. And so would you want to meet up? And I was like, yeah, we can. But you cannot come and see my show, obviously. That would be horrendous.
Oh my God.
And met Horatio around the same time. Everything was going crazy. got back from Edinburgh, broke up with this guy, started dating this bookshop boy, and it all turned out to be a bit sort of strange and intense.
Mm.
And turns out that he hadn't actually happened to have friends who were at the Fringe. Turns out that he had actually like found me and
that is
followed me up there.
That is straight out of the Emily Lane playbook. At 20. My God.
Like he, do you know, was actually really sweet now because he was very young at the time, as was yeah. I. He was even younger than me. It's like, do you know what? He had his helping somebody with a self-tape moment. You yeah. know, he clearly had got a bit too yeah. infatuated.
Yeah.
But in the midst of all of this, I was like, okay, I really need a break from boys. This has all been too much.
Mm.
But happened to go for a coffee with Horatio at the time.
Mm.
And he had seen my show. And when I told him about the situation, I was like, okay, you know that section in the show where I talk about this boy? It turns out that he actually came to Edinburgh and found me and we then dated and it just didn't work out. It was all a bit too intense. Instead of him being like, oh God, that's tragic. He thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just remember having this conversation and I was like, God, I wish that I'd been able to meet someone like you, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, I think I was still relatively new to comedians at that point. I'd always worked vaguely in and around the comedy industry, both with my sister and with people that I'm friends with, and had gone to Edinburgh a couple of times. But comedians are so different from actors.
Yeah.
They're still showmen, but they're like the wonky version.
Yeah.
You know, they're the fruits and vegetables that are like,
in
you
the
know,
dashwater.
They're in the odd box or whatever. And I think because they've had to grow to fit who they are and their personalities are like yeah. bigger than, you know, they should be.
Yeah.
And there's always something off and a bit crazy and a bit desperate and a bit loserish about any comedian. Yeah. Even if they're really cool.
Yeah.
They have to, there's something they were trying to answer.
It's also a nuts, very, very frightening job, and anybody who does it is like a bit odd.
A bit insane, but also has to be a kind of a genius, and you have yeah. to really,
and kind of fearless,
believe in yourself. Yeah. It's very different from acting, where it's like, well, I think that I should be plucked out from yeah. a lineup and you can put me on a conveyor yeah. belt and everything's going to work out. And that had been my belief system for a long time.
Mm.
But at the same time, as my whole world kind of went up in flames and the worst thing ever happened to me, and I had to reestablish what I believed in and like what actually meant something to me. I was also starting to realize that this job and this industry and this career was not very simple.
Mm.
And you could work really hard or be good at something, but it just isn't necessarily going to work yeah. out. It's so much about luck and chance.
Yeah.
So meeting somebody that was just funny and light and creative and making something work for themselves yeah. was so inspiring to me.
Yeah.
And because of him and falling in love with him and then falling in love and then a pandemic happening almost immediately afterwards and having to sort of navigate through that
yeah.
and losing out like the years 22, 23, 24 to
yeah.
global disease. I think that despite how hard life can be, I think one thing I like about myself is that I really try and enjoy it now. I still yeah, get really so lovely. Stressed and I still get so anxious and worried and depressed and hopeless.
Yeah.
But I think I'm able to pull myself out of those moments yeah. by having a partner in this life who truly makes everything enjoyable.
That's and a really beautiful one.
You know,
yeah,
I'm giving him so much credit. I'm
no I mean weirdly it like it leads me to my final question is always we ask him to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or someone, somewhere, something
yeah.
for which you were grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like you already kind of did it.
Wrapped but it if up there's in one.
Anybody else or anything else or any
definitely my mom.
Yeah,
thank you. Shout out to my mom for letting me sleep on her sofa for the last 6 months.
Well done, lady.
Well, I'm trying to save up so I can go to the Edinburgh Fringe, which is also something that I wouldn't be doing had it not been for my boyfriend.
Sure.
Because I have performed at the Fringe before with my sister, and we did two shows. We did one when I was like a teenager, and it was her first comedy thing as well. And then we did one all these years later in 2019 when I met Horatio. But this is a one-woman play that I've written all about being an actress and a desperate actress and a crazy actress, but so that people don't automatically assume it's all about me. I've said it in the 1930s.
So it's not an autobiography.
Because like something that I loved about podcasting but also found difficult about podcasting is like, it is wonderful to overshare. Oversharing leads to wonderful things. It leads you to meeting amazing people, yeah. making new friends, or
yeah.
finding things out about yourself. But you can also feel very exposed from sharing stuff. And I tried doing stand-up vaguely for a tiny little bit. And with podcasting, those two things go hand in hand. When you're just saying, hello, this is me, this is my life, this is my story, I find that a bit scary.
Mm-mm.
But acting, one of the best things about acting is that you get to have this sort of wall between the meaning on the story and you because it's a character.
Yeah.
And so I really knew I wanted to write something about acting and the industry and like hopes and dreams and delusion. But I was like, let's put a jaunty little voice on, find a sexy dress for me to wear, and let's make it a play.
I love this.
But also, if you do a comedy play, if people laugh, you can be like, thank you. Yes, as you should be. And if they don't laugh, you can be like, well, it was incredibly serious to begin with.
Yeah.
So if you had been laughing, that would have been very
inappropriate.
Yeah,
that would have been wildly inappropriate had you laughed at that moment.
Yeah, so, exactly. So
actually, thank you for hearing the words.
Exactly. So that's what I'm doing this summer.
Amazing.
And my boyfriend, Horatio, he's also going up with the show. And so many of my friends are. So I'm hoping that it all is going to be fun.
That's
but even if nothing comes out of it, it's just like, I'm excited to be challenging myself to do something that I really previously thought, maybe even just a year ago, there's no fucking way
absolutely.
I could do that.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually doing it. So it shows like you can do, you can challenge yourself to do things.
And there we go.
Look at that, growth.
And there we go.
Amazing.
Well, I will link everything down below. Please visit the podcast bio where you will find BB's Instagram and everything else I can find.
Jazz hands. I'll do the peace hands. I'll show you doing jazz hands.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily.
Mickey, I'm sorry that he's blazed and also now just...
Blazed, rubbing his arsehole. Sounds like every man I've ever been in love with.
All around with his arse out. Thank you so much. Such a joy and a privilege. And yes, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Thanks for staying cool, guys. Love you. Speak soon. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.